Be here. A little wet one today, but we can thank God for the rain too. We thank you for the rain. We thank you for the sunshine. We thank you for all our blessings this morning. As I stood before you last time, I talked to you a little bit about the things we don't have to fear as children of God and the comfort He gives us in His Scripture. I touched on a brief point about the born again, regeneration, about the long-suffering and patience of God. Before He sends His Son back, before that second coming, He's waiting for all of those to be gathered together, to be born again. You know, as a young man, regeneration, being born again, that didn't make much sense to me. If you're a young person, and that doesn't, when we say regeneration and we talk about being born again, if that doesn't make sense to you, that's okay. It didn't make much sense to Nicodemus either. But I want to spend a little time on that this morning. And if I'd have been called last week, these are the same things I had on my mind. And lo and behold, Brother James sent me a little article this week talking about the same things. So I take that as a sign the Lord wants that at least spoken about. We serve a wonderful God. We serve a wonderful Savior. If you will, turn with me to John chapter 3 this morning. And we're going to spend a little time here. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to Him, Rabbi, we know. So they had been talking about Jesus. They knew, these old Pharisees knew some things about the Lord Jesus Christ. They had been talking about Him. He says, Rabbi, we know that Thou art a teacher come from God. If they knew that, why didn't they listen? Why didn't they listen? Jesus is going to explain to us why they didn't listen. They didn't have the ears to hear. Thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that Thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered. You know, I find that funny. Jesus answered. Nicodemus hadn't asked a question yet. Lord Jesus Christ knows His children. He knows what you stand in need of. When we don't understand things, He knows. He knows. As Brother James said, He knows and He cares. He cares. And He knows. He knew what Nicodemus was going to ask before he ever asked it. So Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, truly, truly, this is assured, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You know, I think it's fitting that God talks about the second birth, born again. If you think about these Jews, what were they counting on to get them salvation? They were counting on their birthright. As a natural Jew, they were counting on that birth. Because I'm a Jew, that means I'm going to be saved. But Jesus corrects him. He says, the thing you're counting on, the thing you're hoping in, is not the truth. It's not that natural birth. He says, you must be born again. If you're going to see it, and I want to make this point, it says, if you want to see the kingdom of God, and then later it says, if you want to enter into the kingdom of God. So if we want to see it, if we want to know those truths, if we want to know, if we feel the love of God and His Spirit, and we want to enter in and enjoy those things in His kingdom, you must be born again. But here we see, it says, Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, for a little while, I want to talk about this separation here. It says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Before, in verse 3, he says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In verse 5, he separates that and he says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Now, I want you to notice we're still talking about the same birth. These aren't separate births. Being born again, you must be born of water. You must be born of the Spirit. Now, if you think about a birth, that happens simultaneously. We're not talking about a second and a third birth here. It's the same birth, born of water and the Spirit simultaneously together. You can't separate those two. And that's hard. If you take this verse, and I've heard it taken this way before, and you think about water, I've heard it said in other denominations, other doctrines, they take that water and they mean it to mean baptism. Now, I have a problem with that. If this water is talking about the water of baptism, I believe that the Scripture, when it's talking about water baptism, it usually says the water of baptism, or baptism, and then later says water. The word baptism is usually used when it's talking about baptism. But it says you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. If this verse meant baptism, then that means something in the regeneration and the new creation of the child of God. That means we had a part. If it meant this baptism, that we could make an act on our part, follow the ordinance of God, and somehow make that part of our regeneration, then that has something to do with our acts, to do with our works. That's not what this Bible teaches. If you will with me just a minute, let's turn to Ephesians 2. That's established that this regeneration, this born again, is not of our own works. In Ephesians 2, and we're going to start. And this is the article Brother James sent me this week. It was all about Ephesians chapter 2. It says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses." And you've been made alive, who were once dead. Now, if you were dead and you were made alive, you had nothing to do with that life that you had. You were dead. And it says, "He," Jesus, the Lord, God the Father, "He hath he quickened, you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." You know, there was a time this word of God didn't mean anything to me. It didn't mean as much. I didn't understand it. I didn't know it. I couldn't see it. I couldn't enter into it. I couldn't enjoy it the way I do now as a born-again child of God when He indwells that Spirit in us. Now I understand some things. That's got to be what chapter 2 in Ephesians is talking about. Being called out of darkness into light. Being regenerated. Being born. Being created anew in Christ Jesus. While we live. It says, "While in time past you walked according to the course of the world." There was once we didn't care anything about this Scripture and walking according to God. It says, "We all have had our conversation in times past in the lust of us. None are worthy. None are without sin. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, who were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead." We were dead. We couldn't do anything for ourselves. "We were dead in sin, hath quickened us, made us alive, us together with Christ. By grace you are saved." By grace. Unmerited favor. You didn't do anything to deserve it. "By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." We've been made to sit in heavenly places. I want you to know this morning, it's in Christ Jesus. It's the only way we can claim those. "That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace." In the ages to come, while we live. "Show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." Verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." The grace that we have, the unmerited favor of God, the faith by which we understand that grace that we have, that's been revealed to us, those are all gifts of God. Gifts of God to who? "And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." I want to tell you something this morning. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to know He's made you alive. He's quickened you in Christ Jesus. And you didn't have anything to do with it. If you have the faith to believe in God, if you believe in those promises, if you believe in His Son this morning, I want you to know that's a gift from God, the belief, the faith. And if you understand this morning that you didn't earn that, that it's by grace, that's a gift too. And it's a gift that He gives to the born-again child of God. And you didn't do anything to deserve that. You didn't do anything to gain that. He gave it. It's all of Him. If this baptism that we do in this water could regenerate the child of God, then it's by works. It's by ordinance. It's not by faith and by grace. So I want to establish that. This water that He's talking about in the rebirth, it cannot mean the waters of baptism. Not only that, but in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, it goes on to say that, yeah, we as children of God should be baptized. The born-again child should be baptized. God has told us to do that. But what is it for? In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, it says that not for the remission of sins, but for of a good conscience toward God. Baptism does not remit sin. It does not wash away sin. But once we've been born again, once we've realized the truth and that God has indwelled His Spirit with us and we're able to realize those truths and those promises He's made, we're able to rejoice in that, then we should be baptized. When you've been born again, you should be baptized. And we recognize when we're baptized that, yes, sir, I believe in the birth, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe He was the Son of God. And He's made me anew. He's made me alive. And just as Jesus went into the ground and came out anew, we come in and the waters of baptism and come out anew. But it cannot forgive sins. It cannot wash away sin. Only one could do that. The Lord Jesus Christ. So back in chapter 3 of John, it sees when we're talking about in verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That water cannot mean the water of baptism. What does that water mean? What water is he talking about? Let's read on a little bit further here. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. How much control do we have over the wind? You know where it's coming, where it's going? We can take a good guess sometimes. We have no control over that. We have no control over the Spirit. Well, see here, the Spirit is compared to the wind. Let's keep that in mind as we go forward thinking about what was this water? In chapter 3, we see that Nicodemus, a Jew, comes to Jesus. Let's go to chapter 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. It is wonderful. We serve a Savior. Nicodemus knew about Him and came to Him. He knew the answer. He knew the questions that Nicodemus was coming to Him before he ever got there. We can go to Him. Nicodemus went to Him. But even when we don't know, He comes to us. Whether you're a Jew or Gentile, whether you're rich or poor, Jesus is able to do all. He comes to His children and we can go to Him. But he says he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus say unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away from the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, thou knewest the gift of God. And who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob? Oh, yes, he was. Which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children as cattle. And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You think he was still talking about natural water in those words? He wasn't talking about natural water. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. Thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And thou sayest thou truly. Jesus knows his children. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto the woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye not know what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But, oh, that's a big but. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Spirit and truth. What water was Jesus talking about there? I tell you, he was talking about truth. The Samaritan woman didn't have it. The Jews thought they did. But this is the truth. This is the truth. It's not going to matter in the hours, in the days to come, in the years to come, what mountain you worship in. But it's going to be in spirit and truth. It's going to be in the heart. It's going to be by the Spirit. It's not going to matter what you were born, whether you were born Jew, whether you were born Gentile. It's going to be but of God that calleth and showeth mercy. You think about that for a minute. The Jews were counting on their birthright, being a Jew, to save them. This Samaritan woman had no hope. But I want you to know, whether you were a Jew or a Gentile, the only hope we had was in Jesus Christ. And that is the truth. The truth is that he was the Son of God, born man. The truth is he came and he lived. And he died on the cross for me and your sins. The truth is that he went into the grave and stayed there for 3 days and 3 nights. The truth is he came out and he rose victorious. And he sits on the right hand of God. And forever, forever his people's sins are forgiven. And that is the truth. You don't have to worry anymore about whether your sins have been forgiven. They have been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's a worry you don't ever have. If that was a thirst, that's a water that's a thirst that's been quenched. Yeah, I tell you, his truth is living water. It's water. And with his truth, you don't have to thirst again. And that's what he's telling this old Samaritan woman. If you knew who I was, if you knew I was the only hope you had, if you knew what I'm going to lay down and do for you right now, you'll never thirst again from that old worry. It's apparent this old Samaritan woman was worried. She wanted to know where to worship. She didn't know where to worship. Brother James said these Samaritan people were half Jew, half Gentile. They didn't know who they were. They didn't know what they worshiped. They had no hope. But thanks be to God for all our sakes. Jesus is our hope. He's our hope. He's our foundation. So let's go back and study this John again. So now we have In verse 5 again, it says, "Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Let's replace that water now. "Except a man be born of truth and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Except a man be born of water or the Spirit. Truth in the Spirit. He told the Samaritan woman, "I seek those that would worship me in truth and spirit." Isn't that a wonderful personification of truth and spirit? Wind and the water. Wind and water. You know, wind and water separate from themselves ain't so bad from a physical standpoint. You know, where I live, we can handle wind and we can handle water for the most part. But you put those two things together and we're in trouble. When you put the wind and the water together simultaneously, it's an unstoppable force. It's an irresistible force. And when you're talking about the call, the effectual call of the Lord Jesus Christ, when He borns a child of God of His Spirit, I want you to know that's an immovable, that's an irresistible. That's an unstoppable force. You can't resist it. He calls them out of darkness into light, and He does it. How much control do we have over the wind and water? Natural sense, none. We have no control over that. But who does? What manner of man is this? What manner of man is this? That even the winds and the seas obey His command. Who is that in reference to? Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that's talking about the natural waves. He calmed the waves and He calmed the seas when they were on that ship with His apostles. The same power it takes to calm those, the same power it takes to send that wind and water, that Spirit and the truth into His child of God and borns Him of His Spirit again. It's beautiful. Truth and Spirit and wind and water. He said He'd do it. What did He say? Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. He says, "In this, excuse me, let's go there." Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after these days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." It's all of God. The regeneration, the born again we have. If you can rejoice in His truth this morning, I want you to know it's because you have His Spirit in you. If you have His Spirit in you, you ought to be able to rejoice in the truth. It's together. We can rejoice in those things this morning. If we can understand and see, if you can see the kingdom. Think about that for a minute. If we can see the kingdom. He says if you can see the kingdom, and then you can enter into the kingdom. To see the kingdom, you have to understand some truths. You have to understand. You have to have some sight. In order to see, you have to have some light. Who's our light? Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "I am the light. I'm the light of the world. Whomsoever believeth on me shall not walk in darkness, but walk in light." If you've been called out of darkness this morning into His marvelous light and you understand the truths of grace, I want you to know to rejoice in that. You didn't have nothing to do with it. It was all of God. He called. It's Him that showed mercy. It's Him that gave the grace. It's Him that deserves all the glory. Thank God for His truth and His Spirit. Thank God for the wind and the water. Thank you for your good, honor, attention.